Hello, and welcome back to the History of Video Games. My name is Ben, and I'm joined by the one and only Wes. How you doing today, Wes?
I am doing great, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm feeling excited because we are wrapping up 1982. We have finished all of the normal podcast episodes for the year, and now we are in the awards season, I guess, for 1982. Usually we just have one episode doing our like end of year awards ceremonies, but this year we've got two episodes for you guys because we forgot to do the Sprite Hall of Fame. Like, we were so busy doing other special topics over the last couple episodes that we didn't do it, and I have a lot to say on these sprites, Wes, so I kind of want to have some time to do that. We'll also look at some stats of 1982 and how we did in the podcast, you know.
So
I'm excited to talk to you about it, but before we do, I want to know what you've been playing. Anything interesting this week?
Sure. Well, you know, it's been a busy couple of weeks, as you know, but to update the listeners, I recently moved from the apartment I was at into an apartment with my girlfriend, and the whole process of moving, getting everything set up, it's been busy, obviously.
And it wasn't a close move.
No, I mean, not too far, but like 30 minutes or so away from where we were. So, well, and carrying stuff from an hour away from another place. Yeah, so it was a decent bit of hauling back and forth. So I haven't had tons of time to play games, but I got the itch recently talking to some of my coworkers about Elden Ring Night Rain. I didn't want to make the $40 jump, you know, to get Night Rain, but I decided I'm still itching for Elden Ring in general. So a while ago when the DLC came out, I had started a second character where instead of using like holy faith-based magic and a dexterity weapon, I was using a big greatsword and intelligence-based magic. So I wanted to get back into that. And, you know, I keep telling myself, like, it took you 120 hours to play through the game the first time. You don't need to explore everything again. You could just rush down bosses and have fun with the main boss fights. But I just still find myself just like slowly wandering through the whole entire world. It's just got so much, I don't know, like, detail and fun little nooks and crannies with items that I forgot about or never even found on my first playthrough, despite playing it, I thought, pretty exhaustively. So, like, I already found another boss fight that I knew about because I'd seen people play it, and it's like a minor boss fight. It's not like a new character I hadn't seen, but it's like only available at this one location if you go there before you go somewhere else. Like, it's a weird like conditional thing, and I got it in this playthrough without even trying, whereas the other playthrough I didn't get to that part. So yeah, there's still just so much cool stuff to explore. I doubt I'm going to finish this playthrough anytime soon because there's so much content to Elden Ring, and I got lots of other stuff I want to play. But yeah, I've been having fun with that. Oh, and I'll talk about some of the stuff I got on the summer Steam sale too that I'm potentially going to be playing in the future. Purchased Disco Elysium, It Takes Two, good co-op game, and Black Mesa, the Half-Life 1 remake, which I'm really excited to play. And then I was also kind of getting an itch for some old like Fallout New Vegas stuff, so I saw that Outer Worlds, which is the like space RPG by Obsidian Entertainment, who developed New Vegas, that was on sale for cheap too, so I got Outer Worlds as well. And it's, they just announced a second one for that like couple months ago, so got a lot more to go through, a lot more on my plate, but I'm excited.
Okay, cool. Well, all this talk about Elden Ring's making me want to play some Dark Souls. I don't know, I've been getting the itch, and I've beaten Dark Souls 1 twice now, so I think it's time to get Dark Souls 2. I'm gonna look next time it goes on sale.
Yes,
I'll pick it up.
I'll definitely let me know when you play that, because it's that's the divisive one, the most divisive one in the series. Yeah. But I still love it.
Okay, cool. I will. So that's not what I've been playing. I've been playing an old one though, a classic. I think a couple episodes ago I talked about playing the original Dawn of War campaign again, just for whatever reason it was unplayed. Well, I decided to go into the first expansion, and I just beat that a couple days ago. It's called Dawn of War Winter Assault, and it's been a hot minute since I've played that one last. This is the first expansion of the game, and it added the Imperial Guard as a new race to play with. So there's five races in the game at this point, and it's very different from the campaign of the original base game, which the base game, I think it was something like 10 missions or so, and you played as the Space Marines for all 10 missions, right? Even though there were another three races you could play in that one. So with this one adding another race to the game, that left four that they hadn't done like a campaign for. And so they made an order campaign is what they called it. You could think of it like good guys. And that one, you kind of go back and forth between the Imperial Guard and the Eldar. And then a Chaos campaign, which you go back and forth between the Orcs and Chaos Space Marines. So you got to play with the other four races that you didn't play with in the main game, which I thought was super cool. I have to say, you know, I feel very experienced playing the game, right? It's one of my favorite games, and it's not usually very hard, but the fourth mission in both the campaigns, really, like, I struggle with it. It was really hard. For both of them, it was played on the same map, just like from different sides, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was essentially an escort mission for the good guys, right? So, like, my usual strategy is turtle up and get the best units in the game and then crush, you know? That's my usual strategy. And then for this one, it was an escort mission. I tried to, like, defeat the other factions, but there was just, like, infinitely spawning enemies, and it didn't matter if I killed their base. They would just keep infinitely spawning, so there's nothing I could do. So I couldn't turtle, essentially. I had to play it as they wanted me to play the map, which was escort this tank across the map and just barely make it through the ending as there's waves of enemies behind you, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
trying to catch up. So it was hard for me to change my playstyle to be able to do that. And then on the other side, it was stop this tank from getting to the other side of the map within a couple minutes or whatever. So you couldn't turtle as the bad guys either. So it made it pretty hard. There was also a bug in the mission where if you switch to the Orcs, all of your minerals and gas would be depleted. So it was kind of weird. So I was able to do it, but I had to cheese the Orc one because of the resource bug. So you can cheese it by somehow just like moving a unit to like the end of the map. If you get there first, you win. So it didn't matter if you defeated everybody along the way or not. I just had like a guy on like, you know, a bicycle just kind of zoom straight there and win. But yeah, it was a lot harder. The other missions were fine. They were pretty easy. And then the final mission of both campaigns had you go against the Necrons, which is like a new race that they tease. But it wasn't part of the expansion, but they tease it in the campaign, which I thought was fun.
That's cool.
And cool. So yeah, I finished it. I had to play through the campaign kind of four times for each of the races, although the first like four missions is shared. And then on the fourth mission, it branches and there's a different ending mission. So it wasn't too bad. It was probably what I want to say 12 missions total, something like that. But it was definitely a lot harder. And I was playing on the hardest difficulty, so it didn't make it easy on myself. But it was still lots of fun. I enjoyed all four races. I'm excited to get into the second expansion. And that one has a completely different type of campaign. It's not story-based at all. And will let me play with the Necrons and the Tau, which I think will be very fun.
Oh, yeah. Love the Tau.
Two races I very rarely play. Excited to get into that next. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, no, that a cool style of campaign. I mean, that was like, I remember when I was younger playing StarCraft Brood War and how like you're seeing multiple sides to the same story, like unfolding through each of these campaigns. And it's very fun. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. But yeah, let's move into our first big topic for the day, Wes.
Yeah.
I went through 1982 and looked at every review that we did. I specifically looked at just the reviews. And I've got some cool stats here for you, and I'm hoping you can make some guesses.
Okay.
See what you think. I'll try my very best from this past year. Man, it's been a very long year. I completely forgot the year opened up with Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah.
That was still right? In the same year that we're currently ending. Feels like 5 years ago. But yeah, so it's been a long one. Over the course of the year, though, Wes, we've done six dual reviews. Can you name any of the six games that we did a dual review on over the course of the year? What do you think?
Well, I know a couple of them, thankfully, because I was scrolling through the whole entire timeline to find which games I wanted to pick some sprites out for our next part. But I'm pretty sure Ms. Pac-Man, we did.
Yep.
And Zaxxon.
Yep.
And I believe Pole Position.
Good. That's three.
We We might have done Xevious together too.
We did do Xevious together.
And then I know there's like a big one in the middle I'm missing. Oh, Dig Dug.
Yep.
And that's kind of where I'm falling off of it.
What, there's only one more. I don't know. It's like a platformer.
Oh, one more platformer.
The guy goes like,
oh, Qbert.
Yeah, yeah.
Good impression. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. That's, I mean, a lot of good ones. It's a good sign for a year that we had that many that we thought we both had to play, you know?
Yeah, it's going to make picking our top three like impossible.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tackle that next week. So over the course of the year, we did 102 arcade game reviews, which is a lot. Last year, when we did the stats, I think it was completely 50-50. Half you took and half I took.
Yeah.
And this year, it's pretty close, but one person did do more than the other. One person did 50 reviews of arcade games, and the other person did 46, which is incredibly even, considering the fact that we don't think about that at all when we choose. But who do you think did more? Was it you or me?
I think you did more arcade games this year.
You'd be wrong, Wes. You took them. Okay. You took all the good ones.
Yeah, well, you know.
Kind of along the same lines, I kind of grouped computer games together, unless it was a brand new piece of hardware. But for the computer games, we did 28 reviews. It was the second highest. So only a quarter, pretty much, of the arcade ones. So for the PC-related reviews that we did, who do you think did more? And this one is a lot more skewed.
See, this is what made me think that you did more arcade games. I feel like usually if there's like an RPG, I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll take that. But then I'm going back and forth because I know you took a bunch of text adventures too. Or some, the ones that we felt like doing. I think I did more for this one though.
You are correct.
Okay,
We did 28 PC related reviews and I only did 12 of those.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So yeah, yeah. So you're a little bit ahead of me there. So that leads me to think, like, when did I do all my reviews? Because you have me beating arcade games and PC games. And what was crazy, and obviously we didn't do this on purpose, but the 2600 was our most reviewed console of the year. We did 10 reviews on the Atari 2600, and I did 8 of those. So you just didn't want to play the 2600 ones, which is funny because I think the first one we did of the year was Pac-Man. So that probably put you off.
Yeah,
and then you did Dragonfire right at the end.
That set the tone. Yeah. Although Dragonfire, actually pretty great. So, you know.
Yeah. So, but as I mentioned, the Atari 2600 was our most reviewed console of the year. Can you guess our second most reviewed console of the year was?
That's tough because I feel like we've had a fall off of console reviews in general because there haven't been many new things. But I would say maybe still the Intellivision.
It is still the Intellivision. Okay, okay. Yep. With only 4 reviews, it's still the second most that we did. It's funny because I think when I think about this past year, I think, oh man, the ColecoVision was so awesome. I did the Smurfs. And that was the only one that we reviewed from the ColecoVision.
Right.
So I'm just, I don't know. That one just left such a mark, you know, but
yeah. The
console overall hasn't done that well.
Yeah, it's got great capabilities, but we've yet to see, other than Smurfs, like anything we're super excited about on it.
Yeah. All right, how about this, Wes? We had a bunch of new hardware. I can think at the end of the year there, we had like 5 weeks in a row or something.
Mm-hmm.
But can you guess exactly how many new pieces of hardware we covered in 82?
I mean, just throwing a random number out there, I feel like 14 or something.
You're close. Not 14. We did 12 new pieces of hardware.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Which is crazy. We did the Max Machine, the ZX Spectrum, the Emerson Arcadia, Tommy Tudor, ColecoVision, Dragon 32, Commodore 64, FM7, Atari 5200, the Vectrex, the Sharp X1, and the Sword M5. I think that's all of them. So quite a few new ones. We'll have to see how long they hang around here. We also said goodbye to one piece of hardware this past year. Can you guess which one that one was? I don't even know if you even remember it.
Is the Astrocade already gone?
It is not gone.
Okay,
it's still alive.
Then no, I'm kind of blanking.
It was the Microvision, a second generation handheld, which just did like LCD graphics,
right?
Which was very bad. But yeah, I think that's most of what I wanted to say. Let me think if there's something I'm forgetting here. I don't think so. Here's something that I thought was kind of interesting. So for handhelds this year, we only did 4 reviews. Of those 4 reviews, we only reviewed 2 companies handheld. So what were the 2 companies?
It's got to be VTech and Nintendo.
That's correct. Yep. Okay, we did 2 from VTech and 2 from Nintendo. Bandai nowhere to be found.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're attracted to those, I guess, Time and Fun and Game and Watch handhelds.
Yep, that's right. But yeah, I think that's pretty much all I wanted to say. What do you think, Wes? It was a crazy year, a long one. So many good games. We'll talk about them more in the final episode of the year where we do our gaming awards. But for now, we have to work on the Sprite Hall of Fame.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like I've been talking a while. So why don't you give us our first inductee? They're not going to be in any specific order. We're just kind of inducting 6 into our Sprite Hall of Fame, which will go on our website. Yeah. They're just our favorite sprites of the year. It's as simple as that. It doesn't have to be from a good game or anything. Just what, you know, we think is a cool character or whatever. So why don't you start us off here, Wes?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, I think you and me both, we've got a bunch of other ones we wanted to mention, but, you know, we wanted to pick the 3. So we'll get to those later. But the first one I'd picked, you know, I was trying to go for maybe some less popular stuff, but some of the popular games, some of the biggest titles actually did have really great sprites. So I had to call out the Pole Position car, the driver car.
Okay.
I think that sprite is so good. I mean, technically, you know, I guess it's multiple sprites for when it's turning. So I feel like the one where it's turned slightly to the right is my favorite. But yeah, it's just so good. There's so much color and detail in it. It's got the white lines for like shine on the tires. You can even see the seat, the back of the driver's head. And then you got great details on the back, like, you know, not super outlined in black lines to make it super easy to see. But if you look back there, they have like the basic outline of a suspension and a big spoiler sticking out of the back and an exhaust pipe coming out the center. Like, it's just got, I don't know, I feel like Turbo might be like one of the only other games that we've seen that much detail on a car for. And this does it so nicely with different shades of color, different parts. It just kind of feels like a big step towards accurately representing a dragster, you know, a race car in video games. And one of the reasons I feel like that game is so iconic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is such a good one to pick. It wasn't on my list, actually, Wes. That's how that's how tough it is to pick these sprites. Yeah, there's so many good ones. But I'm glad you picked it. It's a good one because I think we have some other racing cars on our Sprite Hall of Fame, so it'll be nice to see kind of how it evolved over time. I think that's awesome. But for my first one, Wes, I have to shout out the one. I feel like this has been on my mind all year long. Ever since I saw it, I was like, this one's going on the Sprite Hall of Fame. I don't care what comes next, you know? And it is the Crab Boss from Swimmer by Tekken.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know. I just love this sprite. It's a giant crab boss, and he's super colorful. He's also like kind of cute looking. It's like a pretty well-detailed high-res crab with very dark colors to him. I don't know. He's very colorful with different shades of red, essentially. But he's also got these giant eyeballs that make him look a little cartoony, which I like. I think he's got something like 8 different colors in his sprite. And since he's a big boss sprite character, there's lots of detail. I just think it looks awesome. So I have to put the crab in.
Yeah.
As my first one.
I knew you were going to come out there with some, you know, some sleeper ones that I totally would have missed. Oh, yeah. So I'm glad you picked that because not on my list either.
Yep.
But similar theme, talking about a boss enemy. The next one that I picked is the boss. I think it probably has a name and I'm forgetting it, but the robot boss at the end of Zaxxon.
Oh, yeah.
It's like super weird and blocky and definitely not as detailed as other stuff we've seen this year. But I just love how it looks. Like, the top of its head is this see-through glass dome where you can see like antenna and other electronics poking out the top of it. It reminds me a lot of like Projectrons from Fallout. And I just love that. I mean, obviously the isometric perspective of the whole game is awesome. And so the way that robot boss is put together in that perspective is really cool. I like how he's got his arms out with the black holes in the center that the missiles come flying out of when he shoots them at you. It's just a really weird, like, old school kind of enemy design. It almost feels a little out of place in Zaxxon, but I just love it and all the little details they threw in.
That is such a good one. Another one that wasn't even on my list, Wes, but I'm glad you're shouting these out. I feel like I completely passed it. I probably watched like a little snippet of Zaxxon to remind me and I didn't see him, you know?
Yeah, it's good that our brains work in slightly different ways, you know? We got these different picks.
All right, this next one is a classic. I think it's actually my favorite sprite of the whole year. If I had to just pick one, it would be this one. You know him very well, Wes. It's Q-Bert, the iconic little monster you play as. I think he's just like so iconic. He's so cute looking. I love his long nose, right? I think he's just the best straight up design character of the whole year, in my opinion. And he's worth his own brand, you know?
Yeah.
I love Q-Bert, and he's going in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Totally worth it. I mean, I definitely wanted to pick something from Q-Bert, even if it wasn't Q-Bert, but in my honorable mentions, I had Q-Bert and Coily the snake, because I really love the snake in that game too.
Yep.
But yeah, just such an iconic design and obviously showed up in a ton of media afterwards, so had an impact.
Before you give your last one, Wes, do you want to say your honorable mentions?
Sure, yeah. And we can pull from one of them if my last one is one of yours, but I don't think it will be.
Okay.
So some other ones that I wanted to mention didn't quite make my cut for nominating. The enemies in Joust, I think, look great. The dudes on the eagles or whatever it is. The mothership and really tons of different things from Xevious all look really good.
Yep.
Oh, but the mothership's gigantic. So like the crab, you know, bigger it is, more detail it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Domino Man, which we said looks almost too good for 1982. I particularly love the guy on the golf course level who's just driving a golf cart wearing shades and drinking like beer or something. Well, like it's so funny.
I almost nominated, there's like just a dog that walks across the screen. I'm like, yes. That's an amazing dog.
Yeah. And the bully, like they all look so weird and goofy and iconic. Basically everything in Popeye, they're all pretty great. Yep. But again, didn't make the cut for me. And the side view of the train in Super Locomotive, which you just played recently. I think that also looks really good. But yeah. Should I go ahead and reveal my third nomination?
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
All right. Well, I kind of wanted to go the same or ended up going the same sort of direction you did, where it's like not the most detailed, but I think a cute and iconic character. So I went for Pango from Pango.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't have that much detail. He's pretty simple, but he's just an adorable little penguin. I love his design. He's memorable. He's got like the really bright contrast of colors with his bright red body, white tummy, and then like the bright green flippers and beak. I just think he looked super cute when he's pushing the ice blocks around and kind of really gave some character to that game, like a sliding block puzzle-ish sort of game. Theming it around this little penguin pushing ice cubes was awesome.
That was in my honorable mentions as well, Wes.
Yeah, nice.
So definitely one that caught my eye. It's just like so cute. I don't know. In this time frame, 1982, cute over realism is going to help. Because they can't do realism.
All right, but yeah. Some of your honorable mentions, and then let's hear what your last nomination is.
Well, I only have really two honorable mentions. Actually, I'll say three. I was looking through like pretty much all the games we reviewed, and there was a game called Cram that I don't even really remember.
No, neither do I.
But the main character was really cute looking. I don't know. He was just like, imagine a Pac-Man ghost with two eyeballs, but a little bit more unique and had a bit more of a body. I almost put him in as an honorable mention, but took him out. I think the two I really want to shout out for honorable mentions in the game Blueprint. There's this monster that chases a lady at the top of the screen. I just love the way he looks. He looks like something off of Sesame Street. He's just got like a dark blue leg, a light blue leg, pink body, green arm, yellow arm, red nose, and big eyeballs. And he's just chasing this woman. And it's like his hands are like curled in close to his body. I don't know. He looks super weird, but I kind of love him. So I want to shout him out. The other one I really want to shout out is the kangaroo from Kangaroo.
Oh,
Sound Electronics. It's just a sprite of a kangaroo, but he's got boxing gloves on and he hops around and punches things. It's like, I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Pretty well done. He's got a good good face to him, pretty cute. But the one that I'm going to put in the Sprite Hall of Fame, Wes, it's not a underground pick by any means, but I feel like I have to do it. It's something from Dig Dug. I want to put in the dinosaur from Dig Dug, the green guy. He's so good and iconic to the game, but also very cute and probably my favorite sprite in the game. So has to be a... Is he a dinosaur or a dragon? I think he's a dragon. He's got wings.
Some kind of hybrid, whatever.
He's awesome looking. That's all we need to know.
Yeah. Oh, we're good. I'm so glad you picked that because that was going to be my pick if I picked something from Dig Dug.
Yep. And I mean, his face is just so cartoony. Like the right half of his face is just the mouth and the left half of his face is one eyeball. But I don't know. He just looks so awesome. So I really could have picked anything from Dig Dug, but I'm going to pick him.
Nice. Well, and you know, I feel like there's one big gaping hole in games that we didn't mention for good sprites. And maybe just because it's not super good graphics, but Miss Pac-Man is also, you know.
Yeah. Well, we have the ghost in from Pac-Man already.
That's true. That's true.
But yeah, I like the Dig Dug Dino a little bit more, personally.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Going in.
Right on.
Yeah, yes. So it was a very hard year, though. I mean, there were so many good ones. Yeah. So many great games themselves. And that's going to be where I really struggle. So tune in next week as we actually get into our top three games of the year, as well as some funny categories. Our favorite console of the year and our least favorite game of the year. It's always a fun episode. So be sure to come back and stay tuned for that.
Absolutely. And if you love what we're doing, make sure to check out our website where you can see the Sprite Hall of Fame. Follow us on X if you want announcements about our episodes. And if you have any questions, always feel free to send us an email.
And with that, we'll catch you next time.
See you all next time.